Evening, everybody. It is an honor and privilege to be able to start out this evening. I'm really excited, as Mike was saying, about the theme, working through 1 Peter, a really powerful book, lots of really good principles here from 1 Peter, and I'm blessed to be able to start her off. So let's go ahead and turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to read the first four or five verses here. I'm really appreciative of Pennsylvania Family Camp, appreciative of the congregation here in Everett, appreciate people who come from near and far to support the camp, to make different parts of the camp happen, and I'm just really excited for this upcoming weekend. 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who are chosen, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood. May grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who through his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Let's pray. Awesome God, I'm thankful for this camp, thankful for this weekend, I'm thankful for the opportunity to address your saints. Father, I'm thankful for the theme, thankful for the encouragement of the Scripture, Lord, that we are those who are not of this world. Lord, that our hope is a living hope. Lord God, I'm thankful that we get to live within prospect of that hope every day, Lord God. Father, I'm thankful that this hope is not a wish, but rather a guarantee that is played out in time. I'm thankful that we can count on you based upon Jesus' resurrection from the dead. Lord God, that we know that you will guarantee our resurrection from the dead as well. Lord, I just pray that we would live our lives with that in view. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. What's our hope set on? People wish for all sorts of different things. But we want to examine this evening. I want to examine this evening. What is our hope really set on? And what our hope is truly set on is going to be manifested through our lives, through our actions. It's one thing to say that I have hope in or on something. What does my life say about that? Do my actions reveal that that is where my hope is set? That's really the question for us. And there's certainly a ton to go through, to work even in verses 2 and 3 in particular. I'm actually not going to spend time on verses 2 and 3 in particular this evening, but I am going to focus on the middle of verse 3 into verse 4. It's caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Born again. Born again. Now, we want to know what being biblically born again looks like. Now, some of this is going to be preaching to the choir, but you know what? Sometimes the choir needs preached to. I mean, it's not like, I mean, we don't traditionally have choirs, but if you had a choir and the preacher gets up, he doesn't say, okay, choir, go ahead and take your smoke break now. That's not what he does, right? The choir gets preached to. And so we need to know what the Bible means by being born again. And I'm really convicted, well, it's been made very clear to me with having the opportunity to associate with various groups of people, the importance of having steel in our spine when it comes to defending the scriptural truth of God's plan of salvation. It's really important. No, to be born again. What does the Bible mean by being born again? Well, certainly, you cannot be born again without the forgiveness of sins. Can't happen, right? We know John 3:5. Let's go there just for a moment. John 3:5. Well, we're going to start in verse 3, of course. John 3:3, Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again." You must be born again of what? Water and the Spirit. Now, that's not talking about amniotic fluid, guys. Right? It's pretty clear that it's talking about the water, okay, where we receive the Spirit. You must be born again of water and the Spirit. The scripture is pretty clear about where that takes place. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. And again, there's so many different scriptures. Acts 2, 37, 38. No, we'll do 39 too. "Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brethren, what shall we do?' Peter said to them, 'Repent, let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself.'" Well, again, plain statement of fact here. Repent, be baptized, be immersed in the name of Jesus Christ. What? To receive forgiveness of sins, for the forgiveness of sins. That "for" is not because of. Know what ace means. Okay? So into or toward the forgiveness of sins and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And verse 39 defines for you that that's the promise. So that's the indwelling gift of the Holy Spirit. It's pretty straightforward. Now, Even though it's straightforward, that doesn't mean that there aren't a lot of people out there that will help you to misunderstand the scripture. But we're interested in God's opinion, not man's opinion. Because he's the one who has the power to cause us to be born again. He's the one who raised from the dead. And the one whom we're counting on is we have faith in the waters of immersion to raise us from the dead and then ultimately to give us a glorified body. And so the plain statement of fact is pretty important. To be born again, of course, we have to have forgiveness of sins. To be born again, there has to be a death, a burial, and then a resurrection of the new man. Again, Romans chapter 6. I know a lot of this is fundamental stuff, and Brandon, I'm sure you'll have plenty. I mean, you'll be fine. Okay, Romans chapter 6, in obedience to the truth. There's tons there. You'll be fine, buddy. Romans chapter 6, verses. We'll start in verse 1. "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been immersed into Christ Jesus have been immersed into his death? Therefore we have been buried with him through immersion into death, so as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. We'll stop right there. So, again, there has been a death of the old man, a burial of that old man, and a resurrection to walk in newness of life. If you don't have the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there is no death, burial, and resurrection in the waters of immersion. But because of the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, where he says the power to cause us to be born again is operative in the waters of immersion. And it's a fundamental point that is where we are born again. I'll tell you guys just a couple of anecdotal stories. Just this past week, it's on my mind. Lima, guys, pretend like you didn't just hear the story on Wednesday. I was kind of fighting off a sickness earlier this week, and so I was kind of, you know how it's hard to kind of concentrate, you know, when you're fighting something. And so my mind was just doing whatever it wanted. And so I was checking in on some random things that I had better things to be doing, but I checked in at a local Church Christ, right? And I was like, I wonder what's going on. Because I knew one of the guys who's now an elder there back at the Archbold First Church of Christ. And I was like, I wonder what's going on there these days. I admit, I had better things to be doing. It was a lack of self-control. I repent, okay? But I was interested, okay? And so I was like, let's see what Preacher Man is talking about. And very first thing from the Bryan First Church of Christ, okay, the video was on him, and there was kind of a background like this, and right on his off his shoulder there in the video shot was the book. There's like a Bible on this side, and right off this side is book Billy Graham and Me. Bryan First Church of Christ, okay? In the video shot is the book, Billy Graham and Me. And this random video that I turned on, I think it was from this week, he was talking about how, you know, it's not about how much you know, it's about what you practice. And he said, we may know things that some of these other churches or congregations around us, we may know things that they don't know, but, you know, that's not what it's all about. And we got to remember that we're sharing heaven with them. And so we should really just find a way to get along. Well, that's a lie that'll send a lot of people to hell. But my second question is, why do you exist? What is the purpose of Bryan First Church of Christ? Interesting. Two congregations in the Toledo area. I'll name names here too. Garden Park Christian Church. They were Church of Christ and then Christian Church. And then Boulevard Christian Church. Boulevard Christian Church, they talk about baptism. And they say that they believe, this is Boulevard Christian, they believe that baptism is an outward sign of the faith that a person has. Last I checked, that's straight Baptist doctrine. And last I checked, I can't find that here. Then there was Garden Park, which of course COVID more or less decimated those guys. And so in 2021, they started sharing and these were these were big operations back in the day in Toledo. These were the Christian churches in the Toledo area. And so in 2021, after COVID decimated them, they started sharing a building with the Baptists. And, you know, why not share a Sunday school, right? That's what they started to do. Now, this is going to amaze you, right? Ready? Hold on to that seat. right? You're going to be really surprised by this. In 2024, they disbanded. Can you guys believe that? They have no identity whatsoever. All of their people know there's no difference between them and the Baptists. Okay? Have to understand, guys, that we want to stand, we want to speak where the Bible speaks. We want to stand where the Bible commands us to stand. And if, well, let's put it this way. If not us, who? Who else is there? Who else is there? But let's ask this question. Hasn't the way always been narrow? Always been narrow. It's not a surprise that the way is narrow. And Jesus is the same yesterday, today, yes, and forevermore. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the truth. And so we're going to go with the truth of Scripture. So we got to go with how the Bible defines a person is born again, not some concept or doctrine of man. And it is not helping anyone to try to soft sell any of this. The soft selling leads to a lack of conviction, which leads to a self-perpetuating cycle where Christian churches, independent Christian churches, churches of Christ, turned into Baptist congregations. That's what happens. And the reason why it happens, fundamentally, is because individual Christians are not following the Great Commission. Go, make disciples, immerse, and continue to teach those disciples. That's for all of us. To be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It means the only way for a person to be a Christian today on their way to heaven is to be immersed in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Only way. Now, it's interesting because it's not just in the independent Christian churches, churches of Christ, where they're getting weak-kneed. I had actually a conversation with a guy that I appreciate and really enjoy talking back and forth with, but he actually comes from non-institutional a cappella background. And it's very interesting to me that he wrote a book, and I some of his books I like, some of them I don't. Usually find things to think about. But it was interesting to me that he posed the question. He was like, well, what if, because the book was comparing baptism to our marriage to Christ, as the Scripture does as well. And the question that he posed was, said, well, what if someone lives out the Christian life, but they never go through with the marriage ceremony? Would God allow a common law marriage, if you will, for a good moral person who's living the Christian life? Is God going to do that? And he said, I don't know, but I know that the judge has prerogative. Weird, because I read somewhere the Scripture shall not be broken. And the judge has told us exactly how he's going to judge. And if he went back on his word, he would not be a just God. And so it is not just on one area of our restoration movement roots. Guys, the importance of being born again to a living hope, the conviction to stand on the Scripture, needs to be the steel in your spine, and you get that in helping other people to come to Christ. We're going to talk about hope at some point. Okay? It's important. Okay? Going back to 1 Peter chapter 1, there's the He calls us aliens. You know, aliens scattered about, a people who have a real living hope based upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. They do look different than the rest of the world. It is alien in nature. And I appreciate the modern literal. It translates it there as travelers. I like that. We're not from here. We're ambassadors for Christ, as we know 2 Corinthians chapter 5 talks about, that we are on mission. We are on mission. Ambassadors for Christ. And so, as those who are aliens, our priorities should look a lot different than the world's. They shouldn't align with the world. Should see things differently, look through a different lens, a different paradigm than the rest of the world. And so, as those ambassadors, sometimes we need this reminder. No, I ask us the question, do you see yourself as a part of the world? And so, how can you remove yourself more fully from the entanglements of this world? Because if we allow those things to go on, they will grow. And so, I'm thankful for the freedom that we have to see things through the lens of hope, to see things from the lens of the kingdom down. We've been born again, right? John 3:5, born from above. So do you see things from an earthly perspective? That's the way the rest of the world does. Or do you see things from a kingdom perspective, from the perspective that is above? What's our paradigm like? Our hope informs our paradigm. And so we shouldn't have the same hopes and dreams as our neighbors. What are they looking for? And more importantly, what are we really looking for? What's important to us? Is it the things of the world? One more personal anecdote. I was talking to a local preacher friend of mine, and they had to disband their eldership because they were going from 2 to 1, and so they had to get rid of it, and it was the right time, because the one elder, he's close to retirement age, and he's got a house up north. That's always been the dream, to be up north. UP is particularly beautiful. It is. And that's what's really important. And so he's selling his house there in the lower part of Michigan, and he's moving to the upper part of Michigan because he's so dedicated to the kingdom of God, right? See, can you tell one bit of difference between what that guy's hope is set on and what his neighbor's hope is set on? But their dreams very much align. So, a living hope. We have a living hope through Jesus' resurrection from the dead. Of course, our eternities start at our immersions into Jesus Christ. We are raised up with Him. We are seated with Him in the heavenly places, as Ephesians chapter 2 talks about. But we are waiting for faith to become sight. We are waiting for the realization of that hope. Faith, hope, love, these three abide, but the greatest of these is love. Why? There will be a time where we don't need to have faith. Faith will become sight. Hope will be realized. And so, because of Jesus' resurrection from the dead, we know that He guarantees our resurrection from the dead in the waters of immersion. John chapter 5. John the 5th chapter. I'm really glad Aaron and Devin are here. They're going to love it that I pointed them out. John chapter 5. You're welcome. John chapter 5, verse 24. Truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Our God is alive. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross. And that's not the end. Because Jesus raised from the dead, because he took his life back again, we have hope. And our hope is alive. It's not a dead hope. It's not, as many religious groups portray it, Jesus Christ on the cross. It is Jesus Christ raised from the dead and ultimately ascended to glory. Him on whom we have our eyes set. We've been born again to a living hope. Do we believe this? Do we believe it? I would challenge you that if we believe this, my question then is, are you sharing it? Are you sharing it? Isn't that really the measure of whether you believe something or not? I mean, that's a legitimate measure. If I believed that I knew tomorrow's Mega Millions numbers, right? And if I knew it, then it wouldn't be gambling, right? Hey, let's play the Mega Millions. And in fact, I'll share it with you guys, right? I know, right? I know that this is the case. Oh, I share the good news. Are we sharing it? See, biblical hope isn't a wish. It's something that's guaranteed, but is yet to be revealed in time. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Sorry, Hebrews chapter 6. I apologize. Verse 11. Hebrews 6. Verse 11. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Realize the full assurance of hope until the end. It's one thing to start, but it's another thing to finish. Now, the Lord desires that we realize that full assurance of hope. Our Airbnb is a little bit out in the boonies. Where's it at again, Ryan? Hopewell. I had never, to my understanding, I'd never heard of Hopewell. And then I was fairly confident that I took a wrong turn. But no, it did want me to go on that unpaved road. And then we continued to drive on the unpaved road for quite some time. And you're noticing that there were posts for guardrails, but there wasn't a guardrail. And then we got further down the road, maybe an eighth of a mile, there was a guardrail. And you know, we were thinking on our way over here. I mean, it's one thing to start a guardrail project. It's another thing to end a guardrail project. And I was just glad it's not closer to winter, because I would be nervous to be driving those roads. It's one thing to start. It's another thing to finish. As any man with a home improvement project might be able to attest. I just don't start them. Ask my wife. But what about God's hope? God's hope is fully assured. It's not a vain hope. It's not, I wish. See, that wishing is the same thing that at every funeral you've ever been to, that they're wishing them into a positive eternity. It's not the way this works. The hope that we have in Christ is based upon what the Scripture definitely says. And so it's not a vain hope, but it's fully assured, and it's an anchor for the soul. It helps to clarify the lens with which we view the world. We don't have the same values. We don't have the same hopes. We don't have the same wants. We don't have the same dreams. We are kingdom people. And so the main hope for the Christian certainly is the glorified body. There's a resurrection from the dead. Let's go to Acts chapter 24. Verse 14 is where we'll pick it up. 24:14. But this I admit to you, that according to the way, which they call a sect, I do serve the God of our fathers, believing everything that is in accordance with the law as written in the prophets, having a hope in God, which these men cherish themselves, that there shall certainly be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked. John 5 refers to this as well. There is a resurrection from the dead. We are not just trying to add to our 401k and Roth IRA to have a few good golden years at the end before we're pushing up daisies. What we're really looking for is we are looking for what comes after. And we are living this life in that view. We got one shot. It is true that you only have one life. What are you going to do to make it count for King Jesus? Who are you going to impact eternally? Because all of those things out there, they're going to burn. But there are eternal souls around you. There are eternal souls that we can positively encourage and impact this weekend in this very room. We better know what Jesus means by being born again and not what some preacher said, including myself. It's not about what the doctrines of man are. It's what does Jesus have to say. And when we know definitely what Jesus has to say, we can have confidence in the resurrection from the dead. Because it's coming. Of both the righteous and the wicked. We eagerly expect it. Right? As 1 John talks about. Right? Is there an eager expectation? Or there's some people that are, well, I sure hope so-and-so made it to heaven. No. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This is Paul addressing Christians here. Notice what he tells them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It's one of the things when people are going through difficult times, they've lost a family member who wasn't in Christ. You know, I focus a lot on God statements because a lot of the hollow things that people say that people aren't really listening to anyway, they're just not true. They're not in a better place. They're not no longer suffering. And so we want to be really honest about this, because it's those of us who still have breath who can do something to change our eternities. And if we're in Christ, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, and notice that it's those who are in Christ who he's addressing here. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, but we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will grieve as the rest do who have no hope. As many of you in this room knew, my dad passed away in 2021. And there was a gal that I had immersed within the past year or two of his passing. And my dad's funeral was the very first funeral that she had gone to with somebody who was actually a Christian. And she basically communicated, she was like, it was the craziest feeling. Said, I've never experienced anything like it. Said, because people really had hope. Well, certainly there was grief involved with not being able to see him on this side anymore. Okay. But happy for him. And it stood out to her because she'd never experienced that before. It had just been everybody else. It was, well, I wish that so-and-so, or I hope that so-and-so, without any biblical assurance of their obedience to God's plan of salvation. That Jesus really has caused them to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. The way you have confidence is that is based on that is based upon what the Bible actually has to say. And so we don't have to grieve as the rest who have no hope. There is coming a judgment of both the righteous and the unrighteous. Verse 17 there of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words. Whether the Lord Jesus comes back in our lifetime, or whether we faithfully fall asleep, okay, we can comfort one another with these words. We know how the last day plays out. And we don't have a wish. We have a full assurance that is played out in time. We don't know. We don't know when Jesus is coming back. I don't know when my time is. Right? I might really wish that they had put the guardrails up. It's possible, right? I kind of hope not. I've got three little girls, and, you know, I think I'd like to do some more kingdom work, but the Lord knows, right? The Lord knows. So, again, our hope is because of Jesus' resurrection and ascension. This is the hope of eternal life. Let's hit a couple here in Titus. Just briefly. All right. Titus 1:1-2. Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of those chosen of God and the knowledge of the truth which is according to godliness, in the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised long ago, but at the proper time manifested even his word in the proclamation with which I was entrusted according to the commandment of God our Savior. The hope of eternal life. Let's go to chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 13. Looking for the blessed hope and appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. See, those who are looking for the blessed hope and appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, those are the people who are zealous for good deeds. We have a different perspective. We have a different paradigm than the rest of the world. We don't look the way that our neighbors look because we have an understanding that we're not living for this life. We're living for eternity. It's souls who are online. Where is our hope? Are we looking for and anticipating the revealing of God? That hope of eternal life. Let's go to 1 John. I referred to it earlier. First John chapter 3. Verse 2. 1 John 3, 2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when He appears, we will be like Him, because we will see Him just as He is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself just as He is pure. You want to know if we're eagerly anticipating the coming of our Lord? Well, it has to do with, are you purifying yourself just as He is pure right now? That gives you a really good indication if you're really eagerly looking forward to the appearing of our Lord. Is that what we're doing? And I'd like to challenge us with just a couple of ideas here. Again, of course, as the text talks about it, our hope is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for us. And so, all of the things here on earth can be taken away from us in ways that we would not necessarily anticipate. We didn't see coming. They can be taken away from us. But our hope can't be taken away. Our character can't be taken away. The promises of our Lord can't be taken away. The truth of the gospel can't be taken away. And so what are we investing in? The things which are temporal or the things which are eternal? The things which are seen or the things which are unseen? And ultimately, I'd like to just challenge us that we make this personal. Because it can be very easy to sit there and be like, amen, our hope is in Jesus, Maranatha, Lord, come quickly. But what's it look like on an individual level? What is our commitment to the local congregation? What is our commitment to working with people in a body that we are accountable to, that we are connected with, and that we are going in the same direction as? What's our commitment to that? Because it's pretty easy for me to say, come Lord Jesus. And it's like, man, there's no good people around here, so I guess I'll just have to tune in online again. And, well, you know, I would give to the local congregation, but inflation. It's a good thing the church doesn't suffer from that inflation at all. I would talk to my neighbor, but you don't understand, I'm an introvert. Therefore, Great Commission, there's an exclusion clause. You just didn't know about it. Jesus put it in there, though. It means about 50% of the population, they don't have to talk to their neighbors about Jesus, just so you know. What about making it real? What about things like family devotions with our kids? What about building up our marriages? What about making sure that we are dedicated to our Bible reading? We're dedicated to memorization, that we're dedicated to prayer. What about those things? See, it's easy to say, come Lord Jesus, But really, all you're doing is going to the ball field. Come, Lord Jesus. But the Lord knows I have to have a new car every 3 years. I need to have something reliable for work. Come, Lord Jesus, but my work, they've got a 401k match program, and it would just be unwise for me not to take that. Which, again, is why I can't give to the local congregation. I mean, whatever your example is, it's pretty easy to justify wherever we want to get to if we're letting the world have access to our lens. But that's where the scripture is telling us that our lens should be set by the hope of the resurrection from the dead. That we are those ambassadors who have been born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. My encouragement is that we can all live like it. Thanks for your time.